everybody. Welcome to a Wednesday. I've got the team up and about on this lovely, lovely day. Emma G, hello to you.
Hi, Jazz.
Hello to you, Greg Blewett.
G'day, Jazz.
And Bernie Vince, I welcome you.
Hello, Jazz.
Are we all well? Do we have a lovely day so far? What have we done?
Well, I played golf. It's Wednesday. Geez, it was sensational out there today.
In your gated facility.
Well, yeah, it is gated. Yeah. Like your house, gated. Yeah. No, it was beautiful down there. So did that, got up, saw the boys, saw the family.
You saw your boys, did you?
Saw my wife.
Something different.
You know, helped out before school.
After 5 o'clock, I need to address an issue in this building about one of the individuals that we're working with regarding his family and, you know, being invited somewhere. Mm. How was your day, Boone?
I actually went and looked at some cabinetry options for our build or our reno.
Your ranch.
You sort of walked out of there a little bit wobbly.
Did you really?
Yeah. Yeah, just came sort in a touch higher than what I thought it probably would. So now we're just deciding probably just to get clothes racks from IKEA or something. Or just throw them on the ground.
You know the positive? Lucky the interest rates aren't going up.
Lucky I've got a bit of spare money lying around with the interest rates going down.
We've got a special guest coming up very shortly.
Yes.
Don't miss it.
Oh,
but our very own.
Bruce McAvaney.
Who received AFL Life membership.
Yeah. I'm nervous about this.
You asked me a question before.
Well, because he's royalty. It's like having the Queen on.
He's a ripper.
He's a great man.
He is a ripper. I didn't say he wasn't a ripper.
Okay.
Just saying I'm...
No need to be nervous.
You asked me off air who's the greatest caller of a sport or footy. Did you ask me that? Was that you?
Nah, I might ask you that later.
Yeah. Oh, okay. No, because it's a good question.
Yeah.
I know. Well, I'm going to have a think about it because I'm going to ask you a bit later.
I reckon he will.
Hey. Test match tomorrow.
Yes.
Footy season starting and we're talking about the first test in India.
Yes.
What's going on?
Great time because when we come on air tomorrow night, it'll be an hour and a half into the first test match of Australia v India. So great time. Comes on at 2:30. Our time, Adelaide, so we can sit back and then when you get home from work, you can turn it on.
Nice.
And I love the cricket in India. There's always something happening. So
there is something happening with
and,
the pitch.
Well, we'll talk about a little bit later because I think there's just some funny buggers
going on
in terms of the pitch preparation.
Left the sprinklers on or something.
Yeah. I think the opposite. Took
the covers off.
I think the opposite.
To all our left-handers.
Dried it out.
Oh, must be something going on.
Oh, boy.
What about LeBron James Boone? What's he done?
Well, he has become the highest point scorer in NBA history, passing the legend Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Yes, Kareem.
That was today. He needed 36 points, done it in the third quarter.
Stop it.
They were talking whether he was going to get it at home or maybe next week away, but third quarter he got it against OKC, the Thunder. He's 38, LeBron James.
Mm.
Did you see what he walked in? I showed you a photo of what he...
A love black the swagger.
Leathery suit with chains and his headphones. So asking whether he was aware of it, he said, I was aware of it because I had it branded on my headphones that I was wearing pre-game. He had 36 points on his printed on his headphones.
Too much money.
But if you do yourself a favour and have a look at what he wore in, I think they should do it in the AFL.
A $10,000 suit.
Oh, it'd be probably more, but they are allowed to wear it. Doesn't have to be club uniform. They're allowed to. It's open. You can wear whatever you want. You can come as...
Snoop Dogg.
There was
Puff Daddy.
I don't know who it was the other
Barney,
day.
The dinosaur.
It was about 4 days ago. Someone rocked up in a puffer jacket that was like 20 times the size of a normal puffer jacket.
So it's just his little head popping out.
He looked like he was going to float away. Yeah.
Well, a sumo suit.
It was.
On Triple M's Rush Hour, we are honoured to have a very
special
guest. His voice is silk.
S-I-L-K. Can you believe it? That is just so exciting. It's a beautiful thing.
Please welcome the one, the only, and the best, Bruce McAvaney.
Oh, we're absolutely thrilled and privileged to have the great man on the Rush Hour. Brucey, good afternoon and congratulations, mate, receiving the AFL Life membership. Well played and well deserved.
Good on you, Jazz and Blue. The dog laughed after listening to some of that commentary. So, I did used to get excited, didn't I? So thanks, guys. Look, it's yeah, it is a great honour. You sort of always think, you know, why me? What have I done? But you sort of, it's a chance to reflect on a big part of my broadcasting life and a big part of my life. It was just so enjoyable.
You began in 1978, is that correct, Bruce? And it led the Seven Network 89 to 2020. That's a long time in football, and you changed, you made the game exciting. And just listening to you again, I miss that.
That's kind, Bluey. Look, I did, 1978 was about the time I started at 5DN and then Channel 7. So I called SANFL for a few years and loved it with people like, well, Robert Odie was the guy I mainly called with. Nice. And so I grew up in that, and Peter Marker and Ian Day. So I grew up in that a magical period, guys, for footy in South Australia at the SANFL level. And, you know, Sturt were winning their five premierships as I was a kid. And before that, I can remember the end of Port Adelaide's half a dozen premierships and all those great players through the 50s and 60s. So I sort of carried all that on with me when I got to start calling in the late 70s, early 80s. So they were great times. And then I chuffed off to Melbourne to do some things. And, yeah, and here I am.
Bruce, you're still very busy, of course, but do you miss calling the AFL?
I do. I do. It really hits home when I watch matches and, you know, on a Friday night or any night or any day. I do miss it. It was the right timing for me. Felt like I still had a little bit of gas in the tank, but I had the travel had probably worn me down a bit. It was the end of the COVID year. I got used to not travelling. I was probably at a good point in my life to cut back a bit, and for lots of reasons. So I don't regret it, but I do miss it. I mean, the thrill of working alongside our team at Seven, you know, people like Dennis and Lee Matthews and Brian Taylor, et cetera, and Sandy Roberts and those guys, it's a big part of my life, and I love being part of that team. Mm. And there's nothing more exciting than having the headphones on at any football ground around Australia when things are tight and close late in the last quarter. It's a real thrill. So, yeah, no, I'm missing it.
Hey, Bruce, do you ever sit around, grab a glass of Chardonnay, I'm not sure what you drink, and put the headphones on and just turn the volume down and just call it like you would have in the day?
Have you been stalking me? look, I do tend to yap a bit when the footy's on. Annie, my wife, sort of, she does move to the other room often. Even the dog, sort of, no, she'll sit up and look at me. But I talk a bit. I miss it, don't I? But I every now and then I think, God, I wish I was in there. But yeah. I've got a feeling you're looking over my shoulder when this is happening. And it's not Chardonnay, it's usually a Sauvignon Blanc.
Oh, okay. Sorry, I knew it was that colour.
Bruce, you do have a love for horse racing, and you're a wonderful caller back in the day for 5DN. But my late father-in-law, Stan Wood, who worked on the totes, used to see you walking around the yard with your long hair, and you had a piece of paper and
long hair,
newspaper. And he tells me some wonderful stories about Bruce McAvaney that just had a real passion for horses.
So, Jazz, did he work on the tote, did he?
Yeah, he did, yep. Back in
the day. Well, he's collected a lot of my money over the years, but unfortunately he hasn't been able to keep it because he worked on the tote. Yeah. But he summed me up to a T. Yeah, I was a bit of a long-haired, not a lout, because I wasn't tough enough to be a lout, but I loved horse racing right from the start, and I used to have a dollar or two on in those days. And you know, they were great days. They really were great days. I missed them a bit. I go to the races, obviously, in a different way these days. I've always got the suit on and working, but a lot of my life was spent at the Cheltenham Racecourse and as a kid growing up, because I lived around the corner and went to Woody High.
Mm. Hey, Bruce, do you have a favourite event or favourite sport? Like, you've called the AFL Grand Final, the Melbourne Cup, horse racing, we just mentioned, Olympics, Brownlows, Australian Open. Do you have a favourite?
Look, it's a good question, Bernie. It's sort of... Look, there's nothing quite like a 100-metre final at the Olympics, male or female. They're magic moments. And there's good pressure on you too as a caller. So those, they feel like heavyweight championships. But that said, my lifelong dream was to call a Melbourne Cup. That's what I grew up as a five-year-old wanting to do, and that happened. So that was huge for me. And just the thrill of calling a grand final, whether it be in South Australia, but I guess particularly at the Melbourne Cricket Ground now that the AFL was in. So they're probably the three things that come close. But look, if you pin me to the wall, my dream is to call the Melbourne Cup, and probably, the other two, it's a short half head between the 100-metre final and the grand final.
Hey, Bruce, great news for Channel 7 in terms of the cricket, getting it for another 7 years, but we missed out on the Olympics. You must have been shattered about that.
Look, I was disappointed, obviously. This is the business, and we've had a great run. We've had so many opportunities, and it's been a privilege to be a part of it. So it's the business. We'd lost them once before in 2012 when Nine did London. So, yeah, so, and of course, Kerry Stokes, who's our chairman and owner, has been such a supporter of the Olympic Games. Cricket's such a big thing for the network, and it gives us that, you know, football and cricket, that seamless sort of one to the other. I've got to say, the tests this summer were slightly frustrating because of missed days, but, you know, to see Travis Head and Alex Carey play so well, and sort of the rise of both of those. But how good was the BBL final, which gives us great heart. It gives us incredible heart for what might happen from a Big Bash point of view over the next year or so. I think it's incredibly exciting times in cricket. We're about to see that tomorrow in India and then later in the year in England. So, it's great for the network, guys.
Bruce, you've had an amazing journey and you've still got lots to give. Who's been the biggest influence behind the Bruce McAvaney journey?
Well, when you keep growing up, you know, as a little kid, it was a race caller in Melbourne called Bill Collins, who I listened to and thought, gee, that's who I want to be. And I wrote to him when I was about 11 years of age. Mum penned the letter and off it went. But so he was the guy I listened to and got incredibly excited about. So it was broadcasters as a kid. It was, you know, John Arlott, Alan McGilvray, those cricket commentators, football commentators in Adelaide like Tom Warhurst and Max Hall that I really loved as a kid. You know, these are names that for a lot of people, you know, I'm too old for them to remember. But so I was shaped by those callers. But as I've gone through later life, I've had some incredibly good people I've worked alongside, like, you know, I've learnt from, like, Dennis Cometti, Malcolm Blightley, Matthews, you name it. Mm. But, you know, I'll be honest, and, you know, Annie, my wife's been a huge influence on me as I've continued to work, and as work sometimes has probably got more difficult and harder for me at times, and without her, not only her support, but her skill, I probably wouldn't still be going, so I'm going to give her the gong, eh?
Brilliant.
Yeah, Bruce, we heard you obviously do some great calls for individual plays. Do you have a favourite player to call? Because going back to the 97, 98 grand final, Darren Jarman, some of those calls just stick in my memory. Jimmy Bartel, you used to love as well, and Dangerfield of recent times. Do you have a favourite over those years?
I've got a lot, boys. A lot of them. And Jars was one. Darren Jarman, and there was a guy called Paul Bagshaw who, you know, I absolutely idolised and thought was, he played at the same time as Robert and Ebert, and I thought, and Blighty, I mean, the four of them were just extraordinary, but Baggy was a guy that I just felt was the most skillful player I'd ever seen, and he was a Darren Jarman who could stand on someone's head and take a mark, so I love Jars. I mean, he's school on either side, and, you know, the other Jars are sitting there at the moment, and those two boys were just remarkable. I mean, Andrew, you were such a part of it. Your combination with your brother was just amazing to watch. It was a thrill, and I called a bit of you, Jars, but more of your brother, and those two grand finals were his signature, weren't they?
Yeah, absolutely.
He's getting a bit emotional here, Bruce, with you saying that. Hey, Bruce, going back to my debut, that was a little fair while ago now, but you used to send out some questions, didn't you, for first-year players and leading into their debut game. Is that right?
I have done that over the years. Did they make it to you?
Well, they made it to me, and I hope they made it back. But just a little bit of background into how hard you used to work. Yeah. But you didn't have to do that, but that was just a point of difference in the Bruce McAvaney commentary game.
In your case, Bernie, I just had to ring Ditz up and he gave me all the dogs.
Didn't have to go far. No, well done, Bruce.
Too much information,
yeah,
eh?
Yeah, too much.
And Bruce...
No, we all do it our own way.
Yeah, yes,
mate,
exactly.
You're a much-loved figure here in South Australia. How's the health going, mate? You're feeling a lot better and you're doing your walks and keeping your fitness and...
Yeah, I'm going, Judge, you're a good man. I'm going well. I reckon I could keep up with KG right now.
Yeah.
So there you go. We might have a race around Victoria Park or something. take a while. No. No, look, I'm actually feeling really good. I'm feeling really good at the moment. So, fingers crossed everything's upwards and onwards, eh?
Yeah.
Well done, mate.
Yep. Congratulations, mate. AFL Life membership. Well done. Well played.
Good to talk to the three of you, and well done to you guys, eh?
Yep. Take care. There he is. Our very own Bruce McAvaney.
Yeah, what a superstar, absolute superstar, and a great bloke as well. I've sort of been fortunate enough to spend a bit of time with Bruce in recent times, and, you know, he's got a heart of gold and so talented.
Proud moment, that, to interview Bruce, for me.
Mm.
That was special.
Nah, what a... Stay cool with an Automasters aircon service. Call 1300 Automasters. 60 seconds on the clock. $1,000 up for grabs. 10 questions stand between you and the cash.
I need more cash.
It's the Rush Hour's $1,000 minute. A big thank you to everyone that rings through, because we get a full board every day for the quiz. So keep trying. One day you'll get an opportunity. Yep. So I just want to say thank you.
So when you get that opportunity, don't stuff it up.
It's a much-loved segment.
Oh,
all right, so thank you. And okay. And Noah from Manopara joins us. Good afternoon, Noah.
How are we?
Oh, we're very well.
The Ark.
I'm stoked to be on this. Let's do it.
Good on you, Noah.
What's your AFL side, young man?
Port Adelaide.
Oh, nice.
Oh, jeez.
Connor Rosie. Favourite?
Yeah, star. All Australian this year.
Yeah. Mm. Is he your favourite?
No, I'm going to go Travis Boak, mate.
I love longevity. He's my favourite.
No, I love Boakie too.
What about you, G?
Yeah, well, I like Boakie too.
Now we all love him.
Now, Noah from Manopara, 10 questions. You got 60 seconds. Or 60 seconds, you got 10 questions. Say pass, and we can come back to it if we've got the time allocated to come back to it. I'll always take your first answer, and you listen carefully, and you win the $1,000. Yes, Ben?
Sometimes you just need to get into it. Yeah. Are we all ready?
Everyone's ready. Let's play.
What country is the Australian Test cricket team touring?
India.
Who is Fremantle's longest-serving captain, South Australia?
Matthew Pavlich.
What event did Cathy Freeman win gold at in the Sydney Olympics?
Oh, is it the 400 or 800? 800.
What team does LeBron James play for?
Lakers.
Who is the chairman of the Gold Coast Suns?
Oh, geez, I'm losing on this one. Pass.
Which player did Bruce McAvaney famously describe as delicious?
Sirioli.
What is the maximum score you can achieve in a 10-pin bowling?
10.
How many...
Is it 240 or whatever? 200. I'm going with 240.
How many races in a row did Winks win? 33, 36 or 40?
Oh, Dad's going to kill me if I get this wrong. 33.
What AFL team did Matthew Yench play for?
Melbourne.
What Geelong player won the 2007 Brownlow Medal?
Start again.
Oh, you're a bloody calling.
No, Rita. He's doing so well. Which Geelong player won the 2007 Brownlow Medal?
Gary Ablett.
Oh.
She, Noah.
Jarz, when you gave the rules, because you're a bit scattered, did you say, I'll only accept your first answer?
He said 400 first in the 400, 800. So we're going to have to
take 400 metres.
No, I said it. Yeah.
You said a lot of stuff before this
question. I sort of switch off when you start
talking. Let's be nice, eh? Let's just be nice and give all of...
Gee,
well, I'm trying.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. Correct.
He didn't get 6.
I'm filthy that. Did I get the Winks one right? Dad's going to kill me.
Yeah, you got Winks right. 33.
That's the main thing. Otherwise, Dad's going to kill me when I walk
away. You're all right there.
Gee, he got 4.
He got four.
Hang on, Jars reckons he got 4.
We've got some controversy here.
He got six.
I'm paying the 400 metres for Cathy Freeman.
No.
That was his first answer.
Australian spirit, you have to.
Yeah, that's a good call. Good call.
Yeah.
Noah, the Ark.
And all the others you got.
Thanks for that so much.
Noah, thanks for playing, mate. We're going to give you a double pass to go see Amos Gill at The Fringe, Adelaide's favourite comedy. Sun tickets on sale now at moretalent.com.au.
Yeah, I'll take Dad to that. He'll be stoked.
Awesome.
Good on you, Noah.
Your dad a few times.
Awesome, thank you.
Good boy, mate. Good luck to Port Adelaide. He got 4.
He got 6.
Right,
Number three. You gave him the 400 metre when he said 800.
Okay.
Number five.
Chairman of the Gold Coast Suns. Well, he was. Yes.
Yeah,
Tony Cochrane.
Okay. Number seven, Greg.
Number seven. Okay. Is the maximum score you can achieve in 10-pin bowling is 300.
Right. And what did he say?
240 or something.
Yeah. He said about 6 answers.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Okay, got that one wrong.
Okay. Number 9, please, Greg.
Yeah, Matty Yench played for the Adelaide Crows.
Melbourne.
And who did you call him the other day?
Yench.
Matty Yench.
And well, now 10, I know who he is.
Number 10, Byrne, please.
Number 10, Jimmy Bartel won the 2007
Abreu. So how did he get 6 out of that?
Well, he got 4 wrong.
Yeah, that'd get you 6, James. Yeah.
Get rid of him.
I don't even talk. He got 3 wrong and he passed on 1.
Yep. 10 minus 4 is 6.
Big moment in the Blewett household this week because my eldest son, Sam, who's just turned 8, went to his first cricket training session.
Nice, Greg.
Yeah. So he was... He actually handled it quite well because I thought, you know, it'd be a little bit intimidating. He didn't know any of the other kids that were there, although a lot of them go to his school, but they're a bit older than him. So they're the, you know, the year 4s and the year 5s are the tough kids.
Batsman, bowler, what are we talking here? Bit like Dad, keeper. Bit of both.
Well, I saw the wicket keeping. He's definitely not going to be the next Alex Carey.
What about all the gears? You got all the surely Grey Nichols look after him, being a big sponsor of yours back in the day. Yeah. He'd have the power spot.
He's got all the gear and no idea at the moment. Little Sammy Blewett.
But hey, he could be listening. This is not good for his confidence.
He is a bit dirty with me because he's got his pads, he's got his shoes, he's got his gloves, he's got a helmet, and he's obviously got his bat. But he's got no thigh guard and he's got no box.
Oh, great.
So we've got to protect his little plums.
If you want a future generation.
Yeah, that's right.
You need to act quick smart because that can be dangerous. I've cut that area open before.
Yeah.
It's been caught in the box. Blood, everything. Ask Fitzy about that.
A bit too much information.
Sorry, where were you on?
But he picked a... an interesting night for his first night because they're already halfway through the season, right? Because this is their first training session since the Christmas break. And we go out there and I sort of meet the coaches who are the dads. And I said, righto, boys, what are we doing tonight, you know, after all the introductions? And they said, well, we're going to practice our running between the wickets tonight and we're going to practice our fielding. So he didn't get to bat or bowl, so he was a bit dirty about
running
that.
Running between the wickets, they running practice between that. The wickets, why would they practice that?
Well, the team that he might play for and who he's training with had played on the weekend and they'd got bowled out for a fairly small total. There were 8 run-outs.
Are these mix-ups or one just runs or is it calling?
Apparently...
what are they practicing
apparently
to make that better?
Someone missed the ball. It went straight through to the keeper who was standing a metre behind the stumps and the call from the non-strikers then was yes because he wanted to get back on strike.
Well, that didn't work.
No, that's right. So
8 run-outs out of 10 wickets.
Next week, hopefully you'll be in the nets, but it was very cute to see the kids.
Did he have the wicket-keeper gloves on?
He did.
Few buys.
Yeah, he sort of missed the ball, and then he sort of kept facing where the ball would initially come from.
So the bowler,
and then and then someone backed it up and threw it back to Sam, but he was still facing the opposite.
Well, that can be dangerous.
Sam,
that can be dangerous.
Follow the ball.
That could hit him in the back of the head. It could be curtains. For
anyway, he's away, the little fella.
Yes, but you just got to make sure you find the right box.
Where'd he go? Straight to the extra large section?
Any recommendations?
Well, where do you go to get small cricket box?
Where do you know? He might need the... He's like his dad.
Straight to the extra large section.
Triple M's Rush Hour with Bernie, Bluey and Jars. Nice to have you back for the second hour here on your Rush Hour. Good afternoon to you again, Greg Blewett.
G'day, Jars again.
Bernie Vince, g'day.
G'day, Jars again.
And hello to Emma G.
G'day, Jars again.
Well, it's just nice for the 5 o'clock family. They've just tuned in.
Yeah, you call that resetting, Jars.
Thank you, Bern.
You're very good at doing
now,
that.
Now, what about Bruce McAvaney? We spoke to him earlier in the first hour, family.
Great
mate, AFL Life membership he received, so congratulations. With Paddy Ryder.
Yeah, there's a few that got put
Eddie,
up.
Eddie McGuire. Trent Cotchin. So there's about 8.
Still sidebottom, I think.
But Brucey.
I've got a question for you, Jars. Is he the best football caller of all time?
Look at him. Scratching his face. He's rubbing his eyes.
I think entertainment-wise and getting it right when he needs to in big moments, is he
the best?
I'm not going to answer that question, no.
You need some time.
It's too hard.
You need some time to think. Rex Hunt, very good.
I love Rexy. Rexy drew me to the radio when he was calling.
Brian Taylor, very entertaining.
Yeah, okay.
Dennis Cometti.
Dennis Cometti and Bruce
yeah. mentioned Dennis.
Drew me to the TV.
Cometti, not Cometti.
Yeah, well, I know Dennis. We did a lot of stuff with Dennis.
Well, shouldn't know his name then.
Yeah, well,
Den.
What about you then?
On the committee.
Being a young rooster of this show?
I think he is, yes.
Okay.
I had a bit of a think about it since we interviewed him at 4:10.
Wow.
And I think he is.
Done. Mm.
Just even hearing calls in the opener of his before we interviewed him just got me excited about footy. And callers that can make you excited or make what you're seeing even better is, well, it's hard to do. Mm. So I love him.
He's got to be the best all-round commentator, doesn't he, surely? Like over multiple sports.
20 AFL grand finals he called, Bruce. 20.
Olympics, horse racing.
Commonwealth Games. Keep going.
Yeah. Australian Open.
Just keep going.
I think the Cathy Freeman gold medal.
That's got to be right up there.
He did say the 100 metres, men's and women's 100 metres.
What about you, Greg?
How are you, Greg? Yeah. What about you? You feeling all right?
Is this a separate question or?
If you did miss that chat with Bruce McAvaney, you can catch up on it on the listener app, by the way.
This is not good when you rub your eyes. Something's happened. Oh.
We've got lots on it. We're going to talk some cricket because the Indians are up to their old tricks again regarding the first test tomorrow, 4 o'clock.
Very spicy behaviour.
This is doctoring.
Jazz.
Doctoring is going on.
This is cheating, Jazz.
What?
You said that.
Don't be careful. We have a big population of Indians that live in South Australia.
Heating up. Oh. This series is heating up.
So is this show.
This is cooling down.
I love
it. The great man. Why do we always laugh?
Well, because the great
every
man,
time.
KG, and he'll be watching what will be a very exciting test series against India, Gregory.
Yep, and we've got to preview that because it's day one tomorrow. This is it's a huge series. We haven't beaten India in India since 2004, so it's a very hard thing to do.
How many years ago is that, Charles?
I
apologise because I'm just thinking about my next question to Greg.
What is it?
Well, I haven't. No, Greg.
Hey, local boys, right. Travis Head, Greg, Alex Carey. Alex Carey's first tour to India, I believe, and Heady hasn't gone great over there. What do you expect?
I'm expecting just about a shot of ball from Travis Head. So I caught up with him a week ago, and he was talking about, I'm just gonna play my shots. So I did actually mention about a week ago. There's a slight chance that Australia might get a little bit funky with their batting lineup.
Right.
Because David Warner, who obviously normally opens the batting, hasn't done well in India in the past. So there's a little bit of talk about maybe Travis Head and David Warner swapping. So I'll have to wait and see tomorrow.
Ooh, it's on 5-1.
2:30 p.m. tomorrow on Fox. So tune in for that one. But if you haven't seen it already, there's been some photographs of the pitch that they're going to play on tomorrow through. And it is...
What do you think
it is? Unbelievable.
Explain what it is first.
Okay, so what has happened is... The Australians are probably going to have 5 out of their top 7 batters are going to be left-handers tomorrow, right? So compare that to India's top 7. They'll have 6 right-handers compared to they'll have 1 left-hander. So what they've done outside of the left-handed batter's eye line is probably about 1.5 meters by 1.5 meters square where that they've just shaved the pitch both ends, right? So for the right-handers, it's fine. Yep. But just for the left-handers, there's this massive bare patch at both ends, which is going to – so they've got 2 left-arm orthodox spinners that are just going to chuck it in there. So I'd say probably after about the first hour or so, it's just going to be this dust bowl that's going to be outside of – so, you know, you can call it doctoring the pitch if you want.
Is it cheating?
It's preparing a pitch definitely in their favour, but it is borderline because I'd encourage all of our listeners to go online, have a look at these photographs. It's quite unbelievable.
It's actually shiny in 2 little squares. It looks like something like a pitch has been or a square's been dropped into the pitch.
Yeah.
It looks completely different.
Yep. So you can see that there's some grass on the rest of the pitch, but there's both ends on opposite sides of the pitch, there's these huge bare patches, and it's like a perfect square.
And the right arm quicks, the right arm quicks will just, because they land in the same spot all the time, that will create the hole and
that's
the dust
bowl. Their foot marks.
And they'll spin it out of that into our left-handers.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, boy.
Because our quicks are going to be Paddy Cummins and Scotty Boland, you would think. So two right-handers, and they've got two fast bowlers that they'll play, Mohammad Shami and Mohammad Siraj, both right-handers as well. Yep. So
playing into their own hands.
So, yep. Greg, who's going to bowl spin for Australia?
Well, it'll obviously be Nathan Lyon, yeah. And I believe they'll play Ashton Agar.
No! Why? He can't take a wicket, Greg.
Because I think they'll just want someone who's accurate and just be able to fire it in quick and fast into these footmarks.
Being a left-hander, does that play into those footmarks a little bit more? Can he go over the wicket?
No, well, I think it'll suit Ashton Agar because of those footmarks.
That's what I mean.
But the only thing is you know, a lot of their batters are right-handed, so he's going to be...
Stump, isn't it?
So, the Indians are sort of...
Who's batting six? Is Cameron Green playing?
No, he's not playing.
Right, so
no, he's
Renshaw
not playing. So it's going to be Renshaw or Peter Hanscom. So I reckon they want to play Renshaw, but he's left-handed. So do they play another left-hander or do they bring in Pete Hanscom?
I'm going Hanscom.
Just for this test match because he's a right-hander.
I would just shove it up him and pick all right-handers. Just send them over on a plane.
Yes.
Bring them over, whoever's available.
So what are the two key factors for Australia to win this first test tomorrow? What do you think?
It's how we play their spinners. There's no doubt about that. It's going to be a huge toss to win,
toss,
I believe. So if we lose the toss...
Oh, we're done. If we lose the toss, just go, thank you very much, we declare both our innings. We'll see you in wherever's the next test.
Anyway, it's going to be great viewing. So that's 2:30 tomorrow. And just quickly, next T20, 50 over captain, now that Aaron Finch has decided to retire. I'm backing in Mitch Marsh, with the Smokies being Travis Head and Ashton Turner.
No, Ashton Turner has to get it.
He's been
currently
Mitch Marsh's body can't hold up for cricket.
He's currently not in either side.
Well, I don't care.
Okay.
Make him captain.
Right. Well, I'm backing
Mitch
Marsh.
And Trav Head's performance of the four games for the Strikers as captain, no way. Mm. Trav, just go and bat.
Yeah, good call. Hey, is the Indian test in India the best test match to watch outside of the Ashes?
Probably,
or is it the best?
Yeah, I think so. It's the most interesting because either there's reverse swing or it's just like, you know, Bunsen burner that's there's so, stuff happening all the time.
So it's a bit of a hairy type top like your back, is it?
Like the mane on your back.
Your neck.
Yesterday we played a little bit of audio from the breakfast show that Jars has now just switched off because he doesn't like me talking about this, but... Mm. If you missed it, it was about Jars coming in on a weekend and doing something that, well, he was hoping no one else would see.
So what was he printing off, do you know?
Well, I wasn't 100% sure. He wasn't too keen on actually divulging, but, you know, during one of my breaks, I sort of wandered out to grab a glass of water and walked past the printer, and he was over there, you know, just getting his business done. And a couple of bits of paper fell onto the ground, and it was the Andrew Jarman Special Cockle Divers Playbook for 2023 season.
Is this the coaching manual for the year coming up for Port Langer?
So what was it, two pages or...?
Best material there, Loz.
A little drive by the end from Loz. There's been some new... Before you say anything, there's been some new information come to light in this situation, and thanks, G... This needs to be addressed.
Batten down the hatches.
Is there anything else you can think of that may have happened in that period where you came in? Because
no, I only just did...
did you see anyone else?
No, Callum Ferguson was locked out of the whole building, so I had to let him in.
Yeah. He forgot his fob.
Because he is a flog.
He is in and out of...
Yeah. And then he said he asked... He begged me to show my playbook.
Yeah.
He had no idea what was going on. He goes, oh, what was that? What's that? Can I have a look? I'd love to read that.
So I take that as a no.
So that
I can't recall anything
else.
Well,
did Greg just read out a text message we both received?
Okay. Well, it's disturbing because you could have come clean then, but
tell me.
Jars took two froths out of the fridge on his way out the door heading to a wedding. Jars.
No.
Yes or no?
No.
Did you steal?
Look at him laughing.
Did you steal?
No.
SCA property.
No, did not steal any. I took three bottles of our beer and I wasn't going to a wedding.
They're not
Where
yours.
Was that? That's rubbish.
Oh, so you're trying
I was
to get
dressed
out.
Up like a dad.
So not guilty because of the technicality.
So you weren't going to a wedding, but you just stole some beers.
No, it was
anyway.
Damn hot, and I asked Ferg if he wanted a froth, and he said, yeah, love to. So I got him a froth.
No, you didn't.
And
that's a lie.
And I took two or three with me.
So you're not true. And there some other information we've got, just as sort of just I suppose finishing off this story, because there's been brought to my attention.
Oh, of course it has.
The SCA printing list for the last 12 months.
Okay, hang on, they keep stats on this.
We've got pages now. I need you to get your calculator out, because I need to work this out after.
Can I just, before you start.
No, you can't.
8 cents. Yes. A paper.
Unless it's colour. If it's colour, it's more expensive.
Oh, Jesus.
You're in a huge trough here, Juz.
I'm ready to go. Mark Rupert Ricciuto.
Yes.
Zero pages. Must get his assistant to do it for him, probably. Right. Bluey, 78 pages.
What
12
are you
months.
Doing with 78 pages?
78.
Someone must be hacking into my computer.
Dits, 112. Maybe a few wine lists or something.
Okay.
Myself, 152.
Oh, you are busy.
Clubhouse leader. Wow. I do print off some invoices.
Now, this is for a month.
No, this is for the last 12 months.
Oh, okay. Mm.
Or 10 months, I think it is.
Right.
It's
going
Emma up and G, up. Emma G, 217.
Wow.
This is obviously going up. Okay. The list.
But I've got to print off all my music logs and everything.
That's true.
Every day.
Percentage of work pages is probably pretty high with you.
Okay.
Matt O'Reilly comes in next at 368.
See, what's he doing? We don't know.
He's our boss.
But to be fair, he's probably printing off information for us.
He just sits on his laptop and stares into space.
What would he be printing off then? 368 times.
Yeah, I don't know. It's
photos of himself?
Cricket stats. Photos of himself. Come on, get to it.
Yeah. Tommy Basso, 950.
Our producer. Well, that's all the pages for you guys.
950. Well, I suppose he's printing
rubbish.
All the live reads.
Nothing
you
on
have
there.
Nothing we didn't already know, but
the
there
quiz.
Is four or five pages
he's
a day.
He's
for
not
us.
Long here.
And coming in, can I get a drum roll? Gee, we got something in the system there. At number one, Andrew Jarman at 1,844 copies.
18?
Jam the printer three times. Oh, of these 1,800, 1,244 were coloured. Jammed the printer three times and called Tex in nine times, which is money and time.
No, it's not.
So hang on, 1,244 coloured printouts.
Yes,
well,
that's
I'm
a lot
going
of trees.
1,800 in total.
Yes.
Oh, 1,800 now.
1,844.
And 1,844. 8 cents a sheet.
Times 0.08.
Well, that's,
equals.
What?
$147.52.
Yeah, but 1,200, what's a colour page worth?
At least a dollar.
A dollar. Oh. So 1,244 times one, Juz. That's another
1,200.
He skimmed a bit off.
He's rounded it down.
Yeah.
Typical Juz.
And all the snitches in this building will no longer be here.
So I got that information from the text.
The text.
To be honest, they're sick to death of you calling and saying, what's bloody wrong with Tray 3?
Yesterday, one of our comrades came to me and said, look, Jars, we're going to be going down to Henley Beach tonight to have some din-dins. I'm going to take my wife, my kids.
We're
going to go down, fish and chips, Henley Square, walk along the jetty, and we'll probably pop in and say hello.
If you're around.
Yeah, and I
had this conversation.
I said, Greg, you're more than welcome to bring your family.
Yep.
Mate, the door's open. So what do? I go home. Maz, cold beer in the fridge. Riley made her Mexican bloody dip that we had the other night at my house.
That was.
Stefan had Muzz from Kidman Park Pizza on standby to get a pizza.
Plenty of chili.
I told Marion, so I tidied up all the front, put the umbrellas up.
Mowed the lawns.
Did everything when I got home because it was a beautiful
it
evening.
Was.
Well. 9:30 at night, I'm sitting out the front on my own waiting for, a.k.a., fungus teeth. to arrive with his family to come and say hello and have a beer and a pizza and a feast.
We were home by
then. Where were you?
9:30. The kids were in bed by then.
I even said you can park in my driveway and everything now. You've actually reminded me.
You know, why do you do that?
Don't promise.
Yeah, don't turn away when I'm talking to you.
You've scarred me. The other night when we went to your place, we had warm beer.
Oh, no.
So don't blame me. No.
Unless we drank as.
Warm beer.
Mate, we were waiting for you. All of us waiting out the front. I said he's coming. He won't be far away.
No. There was a few more. There was a couple of add-ons.
I don't care.
I didn't want to impose.
Don't say that.
No. No, that's not going to cut it for me.
No, actually, you know what? I'm going to throw Catherine under the bus.
Oh, the truth comes out.
Yes, I like this.
I said, why did
she say she didn't want to go?
On the way down, I said, listen, Jars invited us over if we wanted to call in with the kids and say hello. And and Catherine said, no, we don't want to. She didn't say we don't want to call in the Jars place.
She
was coming from the angle of we don't want to impose ourselves.
I thought we're a family.
Like at that time of night, you'd be, you know,
nude in your robe.
You could be sharing slippers nude outside. Smoking a cigar
we're
out
all
the
waiting
front,
for you.
Like Hugh Hefner.
Riley, Stefan, Maz. We're all waiting for you. We had everything ready.
Did you see us out on the jetty?
Jetty. How can I see you in the jetty?
He can't even read something in front of him.
This is what we're dealing with.
Yeah,
you know, if I was Brayshaw or Slats or
me,
Hado or you, what?
Or me, he'd come round to my
house. Or anyone else.
Or everyone apart from Jack.
Keep naming him, Jack.
Keep going.
No, all right. No, we'll have a word with Catherine. You think the sun shines out of Catherine's,
she's
you know what?
She's a star.
So you take it up with her. I was very keen to come around and have a hot beer.
This is the Rush Hour.
Elmac Cleaning Services. Get clean behind the scene. Specialist in all industrial and commercial cleaning requirements. Call 1-800-4-ELMAC.
Unbelievable!
Incredible!
It's time now for Bernie Vince's Final Facts.
Another good Wednesday.
Yep.
Another brilliant Wednesday. Love the chat with Bruce McAvaney.
Yep.
Hear the whole chat on the old listener app.
On the old listener app, LISTNR is where you can find it. Yeah.
Or the new one.
No, what a great man. Well deserved too. Yeah. AFL Life membership. Righto, buddy. It's Wednesday. It's the 8th.
You said that. Yeah. Yeah. Normally I say what date it is, but
apologies.
That's okay. You can cut in if you want. 8th of Feb today, as you said. A birthday today. Remember, 1931, he was born. A very famous actor. I'm going to play a little grab.
19.
He's actually no longer with us.
All right. Okay.
He's actually died young.
Ooh.
Probably giving a bit of a clue away here, but here he is acting. Got to guess his name.
You're tearing me apart.
What?
You say one
James
thing.
James Dean.
James Dean. How did you get that, Jars?
That's a fine way to behave.
How did you get that?
How do you know all this?
I'm a movie junkie and a music junkie.
I'm the opposite.
You don't know our names.
I'm a sort of sporty sort of guy.
You are.
We were the cool kids at school.
James Dean.
He died in 1955. He's 24.
In a car crash.
That is very young.
Very
24,
young.
I didn't realise that. There's
Rebel
songs
Without
and
a Cause, was that the movie he was in?
I think that was, Well done. Geez, you even know his movies he was in.
Yeah. Hey, 24.
I've got a question for you guys, because I didn't decide to go any further with this, but in 1960 on this day, 8th of Feb, Queen Elizabeth II announced that the royal family is called Windsor, right? She announced that.
Mm-hmm.
While her offspring are named Mountbatten Windsor.
Yes.
Oh, that's right.
So she just decided that. So I've got a question. How did you just decide what they're going to be called?
Well, because Mountbatten was,
Phillips's father was
a German soldier, was he? Back in the First World War. When Germany were...
So Mountbatten is from something
to
do with that.
So she wanted to get back to her traditional roots.
Which were Windsors.
And that caused a rift between.
Yes, Windsor Castle.
That caused a rift between.
A rift at the time. But that was, she decided that in 1960. So there you go. There's a bit of royal
family. He wanted his kids to be called Mountbatten. Absolutely.
Yeah. Wow.
And she said, no, they're going to be called the Windsors.
Right. But Giles, not, I'm impressed with your monarchy knowledge.
That's not their last name, though.
Yeah, it is.
Windsor is.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Yes, didn't know that.
So he, but you're spot on. So his father fought in the in the war for Germany in World War
One. So they got hyphenated.
And don't forget, Germany bombed Great Britain back in the day. You know,
I met the Queen. Did I?
Oh, here we go. I knew.
Sorry. So good stat, Boo.
Could have shut him down. And well answered, Juz. Okay. Good answer.
Here we go.
Hey, 1968. This movie hit our theaters in New York City. Got to guess it though.
Finally, really did it. You maniac! You blew it up!
Evolves an animal.
Oh, damn you!
Lassie.
Damn you! Not bad. All the hell!
What the? Charlton Heston.
No. I was thinking there'd be more noises of the animal, but Planet of the Apes.
Yeah, but Charlton Heston was in. That was Charlton Heston.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, no, that was the original Planet of the Apes.
How good is Jars and this stuff?
You're on fire.
But that's Charlton Heston.
Yeah, but I did ask what movie.
No, but that's a very good guess. Sort of thinking his way through it.
You do think your way through it very well.
Correct. The original.
We all heard of. Oh, this is a bit of a delayed thing, but.
This is good. I like this.
1992 on this day, Right Said Fred. We heard of him.
Oh, yeah.
Singer.
Had a number one song. Do we know what that is?
Well, I don't know what. I'll know it when it's played.
Too sexy.
Yeah, that's it.
He's sung this.
You look a bit the same.
Stadium.
He looks a bit the same.
But yeah.
Oh, he looks like you, doesn't he?
So I'm look like this bloke.
Right, said Fred.
I'm look like this bloke.
Sing it, Jazz.
Too sexy, Maz. That's it.
Just got into a swing.
Good finish up. Well done.
No, we're not finished. We're
going to get going.
We've only been going for 3 minutes.
We've got the cricket starting.
Yeah, I don't care. Well, that can wait.
What? That's tomorrow,
by the way. How long do you think I'm going to go? Hey, 1994, actor Jack Nicholson paid a victim $500,000 to drop charges for what? Do we remember?
Paid a victim.
Oh. Give him a clue. Sound G.
Glass got thrown through a window.
He did a bit of a Tiger Woods.
Hit someone on the golf course.
Well,
did he?
No, not Tiger Woods. His missus, I think, did it to him.
Oh.
He got out in a road rage and with his smashed the windscreen in on with golf every window. Smashed him in on this day, 94. Paid $500,000 for the victim to drop the charges. Amazing.
These expensive windows.
1960 on this day, Hollywood Walk of Fame was established.
Yes.
Jars, you're not on there yet?
No.
Should be waiting by the phone or?
There's something down at Adelaide Oval, though.
Oh, McGarry Drive. Hey, now, last one to finish off.
Here we go.
You've got to guess this. This is a Nintendo game. Oh. It was released in 1999. Should get it. Go, G.
It's a me, Mario.
So good.
Donkey Kong.
No.
Come on. Really?
Oh, no.
Are you joking?
He just said it. Time to
Mario.
Go.
Yeah.
Super Mario.
Mario.
Mario Brothers.
Well, that one was actually called Mario Party.
I thought it was like a spin-off from Mario.
And no, I thought you were actually half knowledgeable.
You can spin off as well.
Yeah, we are. And I'll see you tomorrow. Everyone back on deck tomorrow.
Yeah.
Have a good evening.
Okay.
All right. Vern, you coming around tonight?
Yeah.
You wait on your front lawn, Jazz. I'll be there.
Get the warm beers out. Triple M's Rush Hour.